Thankful to be here today with each one of you all. It's wonderful to worship in spirit and in truth and worship with my friends today. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ today, and I'm thankful for the comfort of the Spirit that He can give us. Today, I have something that the Lord just put on my heart a couple weeks ago, and it's just been ringing and ringing in my mind. And it's about the Comforter. There's many aspects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills every place. It fills every void. But the aspect of the Spirit I want to talk about today is the Comforter. Jesus used that word to describe the Holy, that He named it that in John, the Comforter. Why did Jesus do that in John? He was speaking to His disciples in such loving terms in those three chapters of John, 14, 15, 16, and 17. But I think Jesus had a specific purpose in mind when He used the word Comforter in speaking to His disciples. He knew He was going away. And He knew the emotions of men. He created the emotions of men. He created us in all of our weaknesses, our grief that we go through. He knew that. And He knew what these men would be experiencing when He left them, because they had placed all of their hopes and dreams and their belief in Him. And what they saw in Him was a human form. They knew He was sent from God, but that's where their hope was at, was in Him. And Jesus told them, He said, I need to go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. And the Comforter is something that was a fulfillment of Jesus leaving. It was something that replaced Him in even greater terms than Him being physically with them. And today, Jesus has that same word to us today, that He is the Comforter and He is with us. Let's read some of these scriptures in John 14, 16 through 18. If ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Not just a certain amount of time, not in trial and tribulation, not in just helping you, but in abiding with you, in living with you, in being that close companion and friend like no other. A couple other scriptures here that mention the Comforter in John. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus was speaking in the most loving terms here, and He was letting them know that there was something better that was coming. And He said, the Father will send the Comforter, and He will teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, the Comforter is not just something that makes us comfortable, but it teaches us, it inspires us, it guides us. You notice, Jesus didn't promise a life of comfortability, but He provided the Comforter to do all things that we need to do to please Him and that He's called us to do. The Comforter is something that will caress us. It'll help us in our grief. but it'll also guide us in what He wants us to do for Him. And there are times that we need to set aside to grieve, to let the Lord comfort us. But He didn't say He's just going to make us comfortable there. The Comforter is all and in all. He will comfort us, and then He'll show us the way forward. Just think of God when He was talking to Joshua. He said, "Fear not," so many times. "I will be with you. Wherever the sole of your foot treads, I'll be with you." And God gave me that very personally after my dad died. And it's kind of like a precursor of what the Comforter is. That's what God was telling Joshua. "I will be with you." And the Comforter isn't interested in us just being comfortable in this life, but He's interested in us finding all of our sustenance, all of our healing, all of our peace in Him. And we have to seek for it sometimes. You know, He told the disciples all these promises. He said, "I'll send the Comforter." And even after He rose from the dead, there toward the end of John, He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But yet, it was quite a little while before they actually received the Holy Ghost. It was through that process, I believe, of grieving, of questioning, of opening their hearts to the Lord, and the Lord sent that Holy Ghost. It didn't just all come to them all at once. But I think we need to seek in greater terms the Comforter in our lives, to seek Him to be revealed in our hearts, to teach us these things that He wants us to know, to show us the path forward. These disciples, you can just think, they didn't know what to do. Peter went fishing after Jesus died, even after He told him all these things. He was so confused. But yet, Jesus doesn't leave us like that today. He has a path forward for us. So, John 16 and 7 through 15. We spoke of some of these things. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Everything, even things that Jesus hadn't told them yet, He said, the Comforter will reveal that to you. He said He will guide you into all truth. Today, we are not alone. We are not forsaken. God is with us. If 1,000 fall at my right hand, at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come nigh us. The Comforter is with us. He will guide us and show us things to come. Show us things that are not even yet here. He will be that prudent guide that will show us the traps ahead. That will be our light.
Yes, amen.
It's just wonderful to have the Comforter today. And it's just amazing that Jesus used that word. He knew the disciples needed that word. And yet, it's so much more than what we think of just comfort. But it's our guide. It's our all in all. And this is really a prophecy of Isaiah 40. And I've had this ringing in my mind. I know we've all heard Handel's Messiah. And the, whatever you call the, how they break it apart, the chapter that talks about comfort. Comfort ye my people. It's just almost like an orchestra in my back of my mind has just been ringing. Comfort ye my people. And the lyrics of that says, well, here, we can read the first verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah first. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Your God says this. He cares about each one of us. It's our God. It's not someone else's God. But it's our comforter that He has tailor-made just for us. For our needs. For our inspiration. To show us the path forward. He's our God. He's your God. He is accessible to each one of us today. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. In this song, in the stanzas, the lyrics. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. You know, we can be clear before God today. We can have, and these lyrics come from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and we can read those too. But we can have a clear conscience with God today. Our iniquity can be pardoned. The striving, the strife, the antagonism by the devil that he works on our hearts, the shame that he tries to put on our lives, that can all be gone. Yes. The warfare can be accomplished. Yes. The iniquity can be pardoned today. And we can find that comfort in the Lord, that true comfort that makes a highway in the desert. That's part of the verse here. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know, God, his heart is for us today. It's for the people. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to find this comforter, to know him, to not just make a little lane, but to make a highway. That we can walk down the highway of holiness that's lit by the light of God. We don't have to fear these things in our right hand or our left hand. We don't have to fear the traps that the enemy has, because Amen. God will light our path. Amen. Isaiah, let's read some of these scriptures here. 6 through 10. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. We're just grass. We're not here very long. But yet, what we do here has everything to do with our eternal home. We can't just look at this life and say, ah, it's worthless. My abilities are worthless. But yet, what I choose to give to the Lord is everything. It means everything. And so, we're just but grass. We don't have a lot we can do. Does that mean we shouldn't do anything? It means we should bloom and blossom and give every glory we have to God, where His glory shines through us. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Yes. It will be forever. It's not dependent on human ability. It's not dependent on specific human lives. It's dependent on the Word of God. That's what He said, and that's what will be accomplished. And we can be a part of it today. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will show us. He will show us the path of life. It's before us. He will reveal it to us, just like he had it before him. And the reward is with him. It's our reward. It's our privilege today to have this comforter, this guide. There's a couple more verses here in this chapter. This whole chapter is good. You just read it by yourself. 28 through 30. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's not just beautiful words. That's the reality, a promise that God has given to each one of us. And the fulfillment is today. The fulfillment is in the Comforter being with us, being our guide. Isaiah has so many promises like this that were fulfilled and that can be fulfilled. Some other verses here in the 51st chapter of Isaiah. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, sometimes the places we go through in life get pretty long. Sometimes they feel like a desert place. But he said, our desert will be Eden. That's the reality of what he wants to turn our trials and afflictions into, is an Eden. Something that we can benefit from, something that others can benefit from, that we can feed others from our experiences. The Lord has this for us today. And we heard about joy. We heard about the joy of the Lord in heaven. That is very true. I enjoy the songs we sang about today, the songs of heaven. But there is a place today that we can have joy in the Lord. It is found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. And I'm sorry to read so much, but this is so good today. And enjoy Isaiah. There's five more verses here, 11 through 16. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in thy mouth. I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Amen. Look at the contrast between what man fights for, what man is afraid of, what man fears, what man thinks about, his bread, that he should not die, the strivings of man. And then God contrasted all that with saying, hey, I'm the God that divided the sea. The Lord of hosts is his name. He is so much bigger than these little things that man worries about, that we get concerned about, that we fight for in our human flesh. Yes. But he's saying, just lift your eyes up here and see who I really am. I'm the God that divided the sea, and I have put my words in your mouth. What kind of man is this, that God is mindful of him, that has created everything, divided the sea, and yet he says, I'll put my words in your mouth? He is individually concerned about each one of us today. Yes. And he wants his spirit to live in each one of us. He loves us today. He's not someone that just cuts us off quickly. Jesus said, am I a divider among you? Am I a judge? I came to save, not to destroy. That's going to happen in the judgment when we die. But right now, Jesus said, I am your Savior. I am the one that wants to break these chains, not to crush you under them. So he says, I've put my words in your mouth. I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. Have we ever felt that today?
Yes.
Have we ever felt in even the struggles of life, when things weren't going comfortable for us, have we still felt his hand over us? Yes. We can have that today. We can be hid in the cleft of the rock when the storm is raging. I've felt that. I felt that after my dad died. It just seemed like everything was intense. Life was just intense. The grief was intense. And yet, there was so much abundant peace. It was incredible, the feeling and the reality of it. But Jesus, in the prophecy here, he says, I've covered you in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. So I believe that part of this about planting the heavens and laying the foundations is a prophecy of what he wants to do in our lives too. He wants to take the striving of man and turn it into something that grows and blooms and blossoms. And that foundation that he is, we can build on and have something that brings glory to him. Second Thessalonians, this is a scripture that my dad and I shared just an hour and a half before he died. It's very close to my heart. I texted it to him, but I want to read two verses before that, because it all flows together. The chapter just breaks it. But 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16, it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. This is what the Lord wants to do He wants to not only comfort us today, but He wants to establish us into every good work. To not just have us at an end where He comforts us, but to show us a continuation on of what He wants us and our lives to be today. Finally, brethren, so jumping into the third chapter, just continues here with the same thought. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So Paul is writing this, and he's saying, the Lord, even our God, has loved us. He's given us all these things. He'll comfort our hearts. He will establish us in every good work. And he follows it up by saying, just pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So just a continuation of comfort, showing, and action. And this is the scripture that I sent to my dad, and he gave me a thumbs up right after that. But that I said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course in me like it is in you. And you know, the Lord gives us those promises today that whoever goes on before us, if they have access to that Spirit, it can be revealed in us, just like it was in them. Because the work of the Lord is not their work. It's not any man's work, but it's God's work. And we can be a part of it today, and it just continues from generation to generation. And the second verse, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That kind of goes along with what Darren was saying, that, you know, there are traps in the world. There's even people that will try to discourage us, that will try to trip us and trap us. And we may see more of that today. I know these disciples, when Jesus gave them all these promises about the Comforter, they were facing real dangers in their lives and in their spiritual walk with the Lord. And this was a reality. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God is faithful. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And he received those commandments from the Lord. Well, there's one more verse that's good there. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Wonderful promises. I don't have anything profound today. I just have some encouragement that the Holy Spirit has all these different names, and we can claim these different names. And today, the name that the Holy Spirit inspired to me was Comforter. And he did that right before he left, knowing the emotions that we all feel, knowing the emotions that his disciples felt. And yet, he specifically tailors those things just for us, to show us his love, to show us a path forward, to be our guide in life. And then, in Joshua, he'll say, fear not. I'll be with you. But that's another message for another time about going forward. Right now, he's our comforter. He's our guide. We don't have to worry about just trying to make everything happen and blaze trails. The Lord knows what we need, and he gives time for us to grieve. And he gives us comfort, and he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us comfortless. But he will guide us into all truth. So that's just my little encouragement today, that the Lord will guide us and lead us, each one today. I'm thankful for how close he can be to us. Pray for me.